Music from Salem brings together musicians of international reputation to prepare and perform chamber music in the peace and beauty of rural Washington County, New York. Are you seeing a theme this morning? I should have done the show from home. Chamber music is a classical music written for a small group of performers and includes a range of styles from the 18th century to today. The connection between artist and audience is at the heart of Music from Salem. Concerts are intimate, with most held at Hubbard Hall in Cambridge, which has wonderful acoustics and enhances the listener's experience. Open rehearsals are held at Brown Farm in Salem, where Music from Salem originated in 1986. Founder and artistic director Lila Brown joins us this morning to tell us more. Good morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. I'm old, but not that old.
Yeah, that's right.
For over 100 years.
Been playing the viola a long time.
And cellist Scott Kluckstahl is with us, and vice president of Music from Salem, David DeVries, who not only is the vice president, but is a ever-present member of the audience and a great supporter, is with us as well. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
Very
how are
nice
you, Joe?
To have you with us. Fine. So, Lila, how did this whole thing get started?
Well, my mother and I came up to Washington County, actually to Vermont, when I was 14, looking for an old farmhouse to renovate, and everything was too expensive and already renovated, and she was smart, and she said, let's just see what happens if we go over the border. And we stumbled into Salem and found this beautiful place. And then when she was an architectural historian and she was done renovating it, she wanted to sell it. And I said, wait, I've always had this idea of having a festival. She always had a vision that lots of people should be there at the farm. And so they turned it over to me. And that was 1985. We really started with just a single concert, and then it's now we have something like 25 events a year.
Which is, is a lot, but it really shows how you've grown, too, over
yes.
the years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Give us a sense of... I should mention you've already had many events, and we'll be talking about the events going forward. So how is the season going so far?
Great. Good.
And what can we... Scott, how long have you been in the picture here?
Oh, I think the better part of 10 years I've been coming to the farm, and it's a wonderful place.
What does it give you as an artist? What opportunity does it give you?
It gives me and us opportunities at different levels. I mean, right off the bat, the musical experience is wonderful. We have the spaciousness, the luxury of time, because we really work practically a complete week together to really delve into the repertory and explore things and do it thoughtfully with familiar faces and always new faces too. It's like thanks to Lila, it's a revolving family of participants, and the repertory is always challenging and always dependably diverse. And then the farm itself, if you've ever been to one of the open events, rehearsals on the farm, it's a wonderful place. You can go walking when you're not rehearsing. There's a pond. We eat wonderful food. We have wonderful discussions. We're away from the internet. It's chamber music nirvana.
It is remote, but you have a beautiful, I mean, not only is it physically beautiful, but the space you have is pretty much all you could ask for. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, over the years we've sort of expanded. We can fit about 15 people there, and when we have the cello seminar and the viola seminar, it's also pretty ideal to have about 10 students and 3 faculty. It's a very special ratio of faculty to student and a good number of people to have a completely supportive atmosphere for everybody.
It's really quite intensive, you know, because we can have so many people in the faculty. So if you think of it, you know, up to 10 students and 3 faculty, sometimes 4. And it's
I'm not a musician, but the exciting thing when you visit the farm and come around is that this is a rare opportunity for wonderful professional musicians to have real time together to prepare for a concert. They eat together, they laugh together, they recreate together, and they rehearse day after day after day. And this is a rather rare opportunity for professional musicians to come and have the luxury of this kind of time.
It's and to say it's a barn really isn't fair.
There are several barns, but we also have a 1830s farmhouse that's our center of it. And we have a studio up on the loft of one of the barns.
Yeah, well, that's that's where I was. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Does the audience know that you are also a star performer?
I was. You invited me a few years ago to do
Pulang, Babar.
Babar, and it was great fun. I had a blast. I didn't have to. I didn't have to play a musical instrument. I just had to speak, and that was quite lovely. I could do that.
You did a wonderful job.
But your audience was wonderful, and the people around there were wonderful, and it gave me quite an insight as to what you all do as far as and this gets to what Lila was saying, of just the number of performances. And Scott mentioned this too about the repertoire. How do you come up with when is that developed as to what you're going to do as a group?
I start thinking about it towards the end of the present season, and just as the year goes along, or at any point I get ideas, I pick up ideas from colleagues, from concerts I hear during the year, sometimes other festivals. For instance, the Bard Festival had a big Stravinsky year, and I discovered some pieces I never knew existed, and I'm very interested in doing things that aren't the absolute normal festival fare. I mean, I love to do the big Brahms and Dvorak pieces, but my real niche is to find great pieces which don't get played that often. And part of it is because in many festivals, you just don't have enough time to rehearse a tricky piece which everyone doesn't know already.
Mm.
So like last year when we did Zemlinsky's Second String Quartet, that's pretty much unthinkable in a normal summer festival.
Let's talk about what's coming up. So I guess immediately it's the Clarinet Reveries.
Yes, and a really interesting piece by a Korean composer named Lee Sang-yoon, who was interred twice for political reasons. He was trying to promote cultural revitalization of both North and South Korea, and the South Korean government did not appreciate his approach to North Korea, and they abducted him from Berlin illegally against international law. But there was enough public outcry that after 2 years he was freed of his life sentence and became a refugee in Berlin. And he's a fascinating man who says he just hears the music of the cosmos and he cuts little snippets out of it. And it's really interesting music. It's a synthesis of East and West he says it just comes together naturally for him.
Now, both you and Scott will be taking part in that concert on Sunday. So give us an idea of what the rehearsal process is and has been for using the show as an example.
Well, for example, we've just arrived, and yesterday we played through the entire program just to take a look-see. And I think we were very curious about the new piece, the Yun, and we got a sense of what the challenges are and what we need to bring to the piece. And today, after this interview, we're going to go right back and roll up our sleeves.
Right. And we also are doing an unusual version of the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings, which is usually done with string orchestra, but I just was really curious how it would be as a one-on-a-part quintet, because Tchaikovsky said himself that as opposed to the 1812 overture, which he described as not especially a great work of art, this piece came straight from his heart, and he was compelled to write it. And so I thought that a small group could bring out the personal and intimate aspect of it, as opposed to the bombast of the famous overture that he wasn't too proud of himself. And another somewhat new thing for Music from Salem is having student interns. So we have up to five per season of very good graduate students, and we have a wonderful double bass player this week named Nathan Varga, who's been at the Tanglewood Institute as a participant last summer.
And David, beyond this weekend's performance, what should we be looking forward to? Music for Salem.
Well, we will continue through our last concert. Their last concert is August the 8th. And again, as it moves through, it's always this wonderful combination of traditional composers, Mozart's, Beethoven, and so forth, along with stimulating and really interesting composers that aren't heard that regularly. I would also say that as a listener, as an audience member, I lived most of my adult life in New York and Los Angeles and came up here and of course, love Washington County for its beauty and so forth. But someone said, you know, you really ought to hear this chamber music group. And instantly you kind of say, yeah, really? And it went for the first time. And as so often happens with Music from Salem, completely bowled over by the level of musicianship, by the world-class artists who come here in this little town of Cambridge, New York, and perform in a magnificent place, this small, lovely jewel of a theater, and play chamber music as it really was meant to be performed in small houses. It's a great treasure. All of us love Music from Salem and want to continue to do our best to keep this great treat available to us in our community.
Wonderful concerts and wonderful programming. For a complete look at what is on tap, go to their website. It's musicfromsalem.org, musicfromsalem.org, and you can find out more information about all of the events, including the Sunday's concert at 4 o'clock. musicfromsalem.org for more information. Lila Brown, Scott Quextal, and David DeVries, I thank you so much for being with us this morning. Have a beautiful summer season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.